for that singing this morning. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2. There is junior church, if you want to send your child that direction. Proverbs chapter 2. The last time we were in Proverbs, a couple weeks ago, we saw wisdom personified as a woman crying out in the streets. She's crying out to get the simple and the fools to respond to her cries, to her invitation before they ended up death or certain destruction, before they destroyed their lives. So this morning, we look at Proverbs chapter 2, a message that I titled, The Benefits of Wisdom. The verses, as you look at this, and I'm going to read Proverbs 2 here in a minute, but in the first four verses, you're going to see this little word if used three times. And so this passage contains a conditional promise. And so follow along. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 2, and then we're going to look at the benefits of wisdom. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then, and here's the benefits, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Let's pray. Father, once again, thank you for this book of Proverbs, wisdom, and how to have the good life. And so, Lord, I pray today for each one of us, myself included, that we would understand the words of Proverbs chapter 2, that we would seek and search after wisdom, so we can reap the benefits of this, and ultimately, again, Lord, so you can be exalted, so you can be glorified in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this is a conditional promise. If then, if this takes place, if this is what you do, then you'll receive these benefits. But I want to start out, and I'm going to bounce around a little bit. I'm not going to go right in order of verses here. But I want to start out with the source of wisdom. What's this wisdom that we're talking about? Look, verses 5, really the last half of 5 through 7, we're not talking about wisdom that comes from God. We're not talking about the philosophy of men, because there's a lot of people that think they're wise in their own eyes. But we're talking, the wisdom that we're talking about here is wisdom that the Lord gives. So if you look at Proverbs 2, verse 5, it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so this wisdom that we're talking about is the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. That little word of, it can mean a lot of different things. I am the son of Jim Berg, so that would talk about relationship. It could be the car of Kenny, that's possession. Or it can mean source. So the wisdom of God, the wisdom that comes from God. And that's the wisdom that we're talking about here, is the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives knowledge. So again, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, the knowledge that comes from God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores sound wisdom for the upright. And so this knowledge, this wisdom that we're talking about, the Lord gives the wisdom. The Lord gives knowledge. The Lord gives understanding. That is the source of this wisdom that we're talking about today. It's not man's philosophy. It's not man's idea. This is wisdom that comes from God. Well, how do I obtain it? This is the if part in the first four verses. How do I obtain this wisdom that comes from God? Well, this whole text, again, hinges on that word if. It represents a decision that each one of us has to make. We have a choice to make. We have a decision to make. If we do these things that we're going to talk about, then you will have these benefits of this wisdom that comes from God. And so we have a choice. We can either pursue this wisdom or we can reject it. We can pursue it and have the good life, or we can turn our back on it and it's certain destruction. Each one here, myself included, we have a choice to make. If we do these things, we will have this wisdom that comes from God. If we don't, we're going to find bitterness, we'll find isolation, we'll find destruction, we'll find death. We have a decision, and I can't take a little of both. It's one or the other. We have to make a decision. But this decision entails a commitment. And we're not talking about salvation here, because how is a person saved? How do I have a right relationship with God? Is it by human effort? Okay, according to Scripture, I'm saved by grace through faith, not by works. And so we're not talking about salvation here, but we're talking about wisdom that comes from God. We're talking about obtaining that wisdom and having the blessing in life as a result. And so, I'm sure almost everyone here knows how to ride a bike, right? How did you learn how to ride a bike? Did you go to the library, get a book on how a bicycle works and all the parts of a bike? And how did you learn to ride a bike? What's that? You made a commitment to go out and to get on that bike and to ride it. You didn't go to the library, get a book, sit down, read how a bicycle works, and now you know how to ride a bike. You made a commitment to get on that bike, to take the risks, to use the skillful action to ride a bike, not just by acquiring facts. It was a commitment to learn to ride. And in the same way, to obtain this wisdom, it takes commitment. If you do this, then you will have this. So there's a commitment. What is the commitment? First of all, receive the words. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, receive my words. This means to listen attentively. Listen attentively. We need to give God our undivided attention. How many Christians, maybe once a week, go to church, give their nod to God, go off, and they do their own thing? And you show up at church, okay, I check that off as my duty, and then you walk out the door. You don't consider anything about God from here until maybe next Sunday, or even sitting here. How many times I've sat where you are, but how often are we distracted in our mind? And you might be here in body, but where's your mind? And this is. When we look at this, receive my words, listen attentively. How many times do we, and we're here, but we check out our minds somewhere else? And we're thinking about what we're going to do after church, the rest of the week. But the condition here is if you receive my word, if you listen attentively to the word of God. We give a nod to God once a week, go home, put His Word on the shelf. Maybe here physically, we've checked out our attention somewhere else. But if I told you, I know where you can go and catch 16-inch crappies, I'm going to tell you how to get there, the bait to use, what depth, the exact location. If I start telling you that, how many are pen and paper are out and you're listening? Right? And you're listening attentively because you want to find out where that treasure of 16-inch crappies are. But sometimes it comes to the Word of God and we're like, our mind's elsewhere. It's on the 16-inch crappies. And so if I know where there's a buried treasure, it's worth $2 million, and I'm going to tell you the exact location where this thing is at, are you going to pay attention? Yeah? Are you listening? And you're going to pay attention because you want to know where that treasure's at. Why? Because it's valuable. And if you tell me where you're catching 16-inch crappies, I'm listening. Jerry's sitting over here, and he might not believe me because I've led him astray before. But the fact is when we know there's something valuable, we are paying attention. Receive my words. If you receive my words, if you listen attentively, how much more valuable is wisdom that comes from God than 16-inch crappies or a $2 million treasure? Do you believe that? Isn't that, and that wisdom that comes from God is far more valuable than any earthly treasure. And so listen attentively. What's the next thing here it says? My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Incline your ear to wisdom. Accept it as truth. Listen attentively and accept it as truth. What is this? What is it? It's truth. Thy word is truth. Incline your ear. Listen attentively. Accept this as truth. God's word is truth. When I read it, when I study it, I need to listen attentively and apply it as truth. God's word is truth. We open God's word and it tells us about our origin. Where did we come from? What are we doing here? Where are we going? This has all the information we need, doesn't it? It has all things that pertain to life and to godliness. How can I have peace with God? How can I have the peace of God? How can I have victory over sin? Listen attentively. Incline your ear. Accept this as truth. This is truth. I need to accept it as truth. Receive the words, incline your ear, apply your heart, be a doer of the word. My son, if you receive my words, listen attentively, treasure my commands within you, incline your ear, accept it as truth, and apply your heart to understanding. And see how this is going from listening to accepting to applying. Can I read this? Can I read this without accepting it as truth? Can I read this, accept it as truth, and still not apply it? And I need to be a doer of the word. We read in James chapter 1, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So apply your heart. You know, we read in God's word, hide God's word in your heart that you might not, what? Sin against God. And if I memorize it, memorize it. Apply it to your life. 2 Peter 1:3 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the what? Through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. I need to listen to God's word attentively. I need to accept it as truth. But I need to apply it to my life. I need to be a doer of the word. The text goes on, lift your voice. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, we saw wisdom personified, crying out, "Listen to me, follow my instruction, otherwise you're going to head for certain death and destruction." Here, you have the command, the condition, if you cry out for wisdom. God's word again in James chapter 1, we read this, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Are we asking God for wisdom? Are we crying out to God for wisdom? Do we, when it comes to decisions that we make, you have decisions to make. Do we just depend on our own understanding, our own wisdom, or are we seeking God's wisdom in any decision that we have to make? Cry out for wisdom. If you cry out for discernment, ask God for wisdom. Seek His will. Instead of making these decisions on our own, how do we approach each day? How do we approach each decision? We seeking God's will? Are we crying out for wisdom? Because God's word says He will give us wisdom, right? If we ask. And so lift your voice. Seek and search. Verses 4 and 5. "If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand." Are we seeking and searching God's will? Are we seeking and searching for God's wisdom? You know, have you ever lost anything valuable? Anybody? You lose your wallet, you lose your purse. You ever lost your kid? I forgot mine in the nursery one time. I knew where she is at. It was embarrassing. But something valuable, and you search and you look diligently for it. Do we pursue the Word of God in the same way? Do we pursue the truth of God in the same way? And do we, and we get up and we just, and we can't wait to dig into His Word and seek His wisdom? Seek and search. Seek her as silver. Search for her as for hidden treasures. Yearn for it. Seek, search. Like it's a lost treasure. Almost every year, I go to Montana and I look for shed elk antlers. And millions of acres, and I'm looking for a chunk of bone. Throw a backpack on, water, food, and walking 20, 25 miles a day up and down hills looking for a piece of antler, a chunk of bone. And people think we're crazy, and we probably are. But think of the time and the energy that goes into that. And we pursue hobbies. We pursue careers. We pursue relationships. Do we even give a percentage of that in pursuit to the wisdom that comes from God? And I go out and look for all of, looking for an antler, and the time that goes into that. How about God's Word? Matthew 6:33 reminds us of this as well. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Do we pursue the wisdom that comes from God? Do we pursue the will of God? Do we seek this wisdom above all? So seek and search. The pursuit of wisdom is not an hour on Sunday morning. It's not a God, nod to God once a week and then back to your own pursuit of all these other things that this world has to offer. It's a way of life. Does this sound like effort? Do those things look like effort? And look at that. Receive, incline your ear, apply your heart, lift your voice, seek and search. There's effort that goes into this. But let's look at the benefits of wisdom. If you do this, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So the benefits of wisdom. First of all, you have the start. Remember, in I think it was our first study in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's not something you start on and then you leave it, but it's on a vertical plane on which everything else rests. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so here's the start. You don't leave it, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the foundation, if you will, on which everything else rests. But not only that, it is security. It's the security. Look at verses 7 and 8. Okay, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. If you do these things, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, the source of wisdom, the knowledge of God, because God gives wisdom from His mouth. Then look at verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of the justice and preserves the way of His saints. And you look at those words, He's a shield. What's a shield do? It's protection, right? He's a shield to those who walk uprightly. And we, if you seek the wisdom that comes from God, if you pursue that, He's your shield. He's your protection. He guards the paths of the justice. He keeps you. He preserves you. The Lord will protect you. He'll be your shield when you obtain this wisdom. He'll guard you. He'll preserve you. And when I was looking at these words this week as I was studying this chapter out, I thought of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What do those verses speak to? God's what? His provision. He provides. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. What's that talk of? God's protection. So we see His provision. We see His protection. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you have provision, protection, you have peace of mind, you have security. He keeps you, He guards you. What can separate the believer from the love of God? Nothing. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Life, death, principalities, powers, nothing can separate me from the love of God. So you have security. You will understand. You'll have discernment. This means to see insightfully. So He guards the paths of the justice. He preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart, verse 10, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. You're going to have discernment. You're going to understand right from wrong, good from evil. You're going to be able to make right decisions when you have the wisdom that comes from God. You're going to know what's right and just and fair. And when you look at this, again, he'll be your shield, protection. He'll keep you. He'll preserve you. He'll understand. And you might be thinking, well, you know, I've seen Christian people suffer. It doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer or face hardships or trials in life. But even as a believer, and you're not going to suffer as an evildoer if you have the wisdom that comes from God. But even if you were tortured and killed, does God still preserve and protect you and guard you? For the believer to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. And again, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And so you have the start, you have the security, you have the salvation. And I'm not talking again about saving faith here, but what does the Lord keep the wise from? Go back to our text. Verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. So this salvation, he delivers us from the evil man. And then in a little bit, we're going to look at the immoral woman in verse 16. We're delivered from the immoral woman. But deliverance from the evil man, both these tempters, they're different, yet they have similarities. The corrupt man is the man who speaks perverse things. He justifies his way. He has a distorted set of values. And if we seek the wisdom that comes from God, we're delivered from this man. Those who are not upright, the immoral man abandons the straight paths. He walks in darkness. He rejoices in evil. He delights in perversity. He's devious. And the evil man goes in this path of darkness. But you're delivered from him. You don't walk in that path in that way with him when we seek the wisdom that comes from God. Deliverance from the immoral woman. And we're going to get in, we'll get into Proverbs 5, 6, 7, the warning about this immoral woman, this seductress. This woman is described, she's a seducer who forgets God. She abandons her lawful husband. She forgets her promises made before God. Her house leads to death. I couldn't help too, but you stop and you look at our society and pornography is at the fingertips of everyone. And you look at the destruction of families as a result of giving in to this immorality. But the one who seeks wisdom that comes from God is delivered from this immoral woman, from this seductress who flatters with her words. You know, her house leads, it's a gateway to death and destruction. And both of these tempters lead their victims to destruction. The evil man, he draws his followers into moral decay. He promises easy money. The immoral woman, you go in her house, you enter her house because of her flattering words, and all you find is the corpses of those who have been tempted by her. Victims of her seduction, but it's too late. There's no exit, verses 18 and 19. But you look at this imagery and the graphic description of those who follow the allurement of sexual sin. And it's devastating. So the benefits of wisdom, the start, the security, the salvation, deliverance from the evil man, deliverance from the immoral woman. But there's more benefits, the blessings of wisdom. You can walk in godliness. Look at verse 9. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path, and you can walk in godliness. Can you and I please God on our own effort? It's impossible. What does a believer have within them that gives us, because we can pray to God for the strength to overcome sin. Do we already have that strength within us? What's it called? The Holy Spirit. But I have to yield to the Spirit. I can yield to the Spirit or yield to the flesh. I have a choice to make. I have a choice to make. And we can walk in godliness. Again, salvation isn't by human effort. It's not me pulling myself up by my own bootstraps I'm going to live a godly life and gain favor with God. Why did God save us, though? That we might... What's the grace of God do? It brings salvation that we might live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God's desire is that we would live for Him, that we would live a godly life, and we seek the wisdom that comes from God. We can walk in godliness. It's possible. I can't say, well, I can't help it. I can yield to the flesh or yield to the Spirit. I have a choice to make. I can walk in godliness. I can't under my own strength. You can be righteous. Again, I'm not talking about being declared right in God's eyes by my own human effort. That only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's positional sanctification. In God's eyes, Steve Berg is holy. Because when God looks at me, he sees Jesus Christ. But how about practical sanctification? God's design, God's desire is that I would live right. That I would honor him. When we seek wisdom that comes from God and apply that wisdom, we can walk righteously. To deliver you from the evil way, from the man who speaks perverse, from the seductress, verse 16, who forsakes the companion, her house leads to death. Verse 19, none who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life, so you may walk the way of godliness and keep to the path of righteousness. For the upright will, what? Dwell in the land. In the adult Sunday school class, looking at eschatology, and Pastor Brian's been talking about, we've seen promises about the land made to the nation of Israel. This blessing of dwelling in the land. For the Israelites, the land was a place of blessing. This was a place of blessing for them. A literal land, a literal piece of real estate was a place of blessing. As we look at this, for the upright will dwell in the land. This isn't a promise for the New Testament believer to have a chunk of real estate, but it is a promise of blessing. As we pursue the wisdom that comes from God, there is this promise of blessing. You be blessed as you receive the word. Incline your ear and apply these things. It's a promise of blessing. You can dwell in the land. You can be blameless. You can have the good life. The good life of blessing, living a life pleasing in God's eyes. If you pursue the wisdom that comes from God, you can have these benefits and these blessings. A life lived with the wisdom of God applied is the good life. And so the application. Are you actively pursuing the wisdom that comes from God? Are you actively pursuing the wisdom that comes from God? We actively pursue careers, hobbies, relationships, boyfriends, girlfriends. Are we pursuing the wisdom that comes from God? Or do you give God the nod once a week, go home, put his word on the shelf, or maybe you even check this off and you do your devotions, your eyes skim across the page, your mind is somewhere else? Or are you inclining, are you receiving, listening attentively, inclining your ear, accepting it as truth, applying it, being a doer of the word, calling out and asking God for wisdom, seeking and searching diligently wisdom that comes from God? Are you actively pursuing the wisdom that comes from God? God isn't going to withhold that wisdom from you if you pursue it. And this is a conditional promise. If you do this, then he will give this to you. He's not going to withhold it for you. It's not like God's dangling a carrot out there and then you do it and he doesn't give it to you. He wants to give you this wisdom. He wants to give it to you. He wants you to pursue it so you have this wisdom that comes from him. He wants to give you the wisdom and the benefit and blessings that come with it. But you have to pursue it. You know, this week, I had a high school friend called me and he asked if he could stop in and see me. And I've seen him go back probably in my early 20s. I was probably 23, 24. I'd gotten saved at age 20. He came over to my house. He was going through a pretty difficult time. And so he's coming over, talking to me. I shared the gospel with him. He made a profession of faith. And I've had contact with him off and on through the years, but he called and he asked if he could come to my office this week. I said, sure. So he came over. He was here for about 2.5 hours. And talking to him, and he said, I'm envious of you, your life. And it had nothing to do with material things. He looked at my life and he said, I'm envious of it. And I thought, boy, you should wear my shoes sometime. It hasn't been roses. And I told him that. I said, life hasn't been without trials and hardships and struggles. We've had them. And he said, but there's a steadiness with you. And he said, I guess you're just better than I am. And I said, no, that's not the case. And then I went back. I said, remember when you came over to my house in our early 20s? You were going through this time and I shared the gospel with you. I said, you remember that? He said, yeah. And he said, I put my faith in Christ. I said, yes, you did. I said, but let me ask you a question. How much have you been in the Word of God? I said, do you have a Bible home? He said, yeah, I have a bunch of them. I said, how much are you in the Word of God? He said, I'm not. I said, how often have you been in church? I haven't been. I said, so you put your faith in Christ. I said, you die today, where are you going? He said, well, I think I'm going to heaven. I said, why are you thinking, does God lie? He said, no, God doesn't lie. I said, John 3:16, what's it say? He said it. I said, according to that, are you going to heaven or not? Yeah, I'm going to heaven. I said, all right, God doesn't lie. You put your faith in Christ, you have eternal life. Why are you having these struggles and these issues and these doubts? Because you haven't been seeking wisdom that comes from God. That's the difference. We need to read the Word of God, accept it as truth, apply it to our lives. That's the difference. And I have hardships just like everyone else. But what are we going to do with it? Where are we going to go to maneuver through those things? It's got to be here. This is our guidebook. This is where we need to come and settle. If you do this, then you have these benefits and blessings. But as believers, do we have a choice to make every single day? You put your faith in Christ, it doesn't mean that everything's roses, nor do we always make the right decision. We have to keep coming back to God's Word on our daily decisions, our daily choices that we make. We have to keep coming back here and applying God's Word to our life. And then we have the good life. Because there's a lot of Christians, too, that live life and it's miserable because we're not applying God's Word. Actively pursue the Word of God. Seek and search. Are we pursuing the wisdom like we would a valuable treasure? Apply God's Word. Search, seek, and apply His Word. And then we have the blessings and the benefits of that. I'm going to pray, have a closing hymn, and then we'll have John Tretzvin come up. Welcome him into membership. John has sought out membership. He's in agreement doctrinally. He shared his testimony of faith and desires to join the church in membership. We've enjoyed getting to know John and his desire to serve here locally as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word that we have. It's not some mystic thing that you're trying to keep hidden from us. It's right here in front of us. I pray that each one of us would actively pursue wisdom that comes from you and that we would apply it to our lives, Lord, so we could have the good life. That's your desire. Perhaps there's some here that don't know you. I pray again that they'd settle that today. They'd put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and stop trusting in their own good works and their own merits. But again, Lord, for application for us as believers, may we just pursue this wisdom, receive the benefits and the blessing of it, and ultimately give you the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.